Our special guest tonight, as you all know, is Jane Cortez, and we've been hoping, praying to get Jane here for some time, and the time is now. Jane, like Herman Melville, looks on art and literature as telling the truth, the art of telling the truth. And that sometimes is not what people like to hear. And so sometimes her work has drawn labels that are really pretty glib. Her work's been called controversial, daring, angry, compassionate, dangerous, all words that really don't speak to the heart of the issue, which is the art of telling the truth. She's read her poems all over the country and all over the world, published it in many magazines, anthologies, at least a half a dozen books. Most recent book is Coagulations, which we have copies on the book table in the front for anybody interested after the set. Her work is featured on videotapes, on film, in the wonderful film Poetry in Motion, and on record albums. She's renowned as a performer of her poetry, often in collaboration with jazz musicians. She's been called a third world poet. She is a this world poet. She is a new world poet. And she poetry flavored by the language, idiom, sensibilities of black culture, its rhythms, tonalities of its music. Flavors it with the intensified imagery of surrealism and a fine-tuned political slash human awareness. Political slash human awareness. Confronting social issues at their points of intersection with words charged with power. It's really great pleasure to bring to her first time to you and to St. Louis, and I know you're going to make her feel at home, Jane Cortez.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be in St. Louis, and I thank River Styx for inviting me and to St. Louis, and for Gene Redmond for inviting me to East St. Louis to read. For years, I've heard about St. Louis, because I have these two friends, Quincy Troop, who is from here, and Eugene Redmond. And we meet in New York City, but they talk about St. Louis. So I would like to start out by reading a piece about New York City. And it's called I Am New York City. In fact, the next four pieces will be sort of what I call some of my New York pieces. I am New York City. Here is my brain of hot sauce, my tobacco teeth, my mattress of bed bug tongue, legs apart, hand on chin, war on the roof, insults, pointed fingers, push carts, my contraceptives all. Look at my pelvis blushing. I am New York City of blood, police, and fried pies. I rub my docks red with grenadine and jelly madness in a flow of Tokay. My huge skull of pigeons, my seance of peeping toms, my platted ovaries, excuse me. This is my grime, my thigh of steel spoons and toothpicks. I imitate no one. I am New York City of the brown spit and soft tomatoes. Give me my confetti of flesh, my marquee of false nipples, my sideshow of open beaks, in my nose of soot, in my oxblood eyes, in my ear of Saturday night specials. I eat ha ha, he he, and ho ho. I am New York City. Never change, never sleep, never melt. My shoes are incognito. Cadavers grow from my goatee. Look, I sparkle with shit. With wishbones, my nickname is Gloomy. Take my face of stink bombs, my star-spangled banner of hot dogs. Take my beer can junta, my reptilian ass of footprints, and approach me through life, approach me through death, approach me through my widow's peak, through my split ends, my asthmatic laugh. Approach me through my wash rag, half ankle, half elbow. Massage me with your camphor tears. Salute the patina and concrete of my rat tail wig, face up, face down. Piss into the bite of our handshake. I am New York City, my skillet head friend, my fat bellied comrade. Citizens, break wind with me. So I see a lot of you, you've been to New York City, and you relate to that. Huh? This is called So What? So what if I spend the rest of my life living on invisible mouth of an imaginary saxophone, breathing in and blowing out polluted airs in August, doobie 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 suck suck, all the way through this tunnel? So what if you sniff the monumental torture smell of power like toe jam, piss, and rotten cabbage on sleeves of my last overcoat? Don't jump off, throw up, fall down. I want you to touch my hair like so many flies. Understand these boogers I eat. Don't worry, it's the business of death to be hungry. I only sit in its lap like a buzzard, one lick at a time. Doobie, 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 suck, suck. And also, you know, it's a real pleasure to be on the same program with the St. Louis Connection. I was sitting there at the table listening, and they really knocked me out. Say it, and peel off that gray iguana skin mask. Say it, and clean out your cockpit of intoxicated spiders. Tear the sexual leaves of grief from your heart. Pluck the feathers of nostalgia from your nipples. Push the slow-moving masochistic mudslide of contralto voices from your afternoon skull of anxiety. Say it, and let the tooth chips fall from your hole of rebellious itches. Let the excremental mountain of bones shoot out from your tin farting poems in the fly season. Say it, because everything is like an ambush. Everything is like an incursion. Flesh smoking flesh in hemp field of a 50-minute breakdown. Time sodomizing time in a circular tunnel of asphalt and ashes. Space revolting against space in roar of an artillery salvo fuck. Say it, and leave it splattered against the mortuary of the moon, reflective sap of dead weight. Say it, and store it in your propane bucket of memory, sporadic tremulations of fear. Shove it into saliva of a roach, radula of teeth between ovums. Throw it from your spine of excessive heat, fertility smoke of fumigated funk. Talk to yourself in automobile of the clitoris, soul of so much humanistic lip. Say it, and let the pissy sheets of repression emerge from your breast of paregoric flamingos. Let the crematorial paste in your solitary carcass of drums push through vaginal acidity of your bodega. Say it, and plunge from invisibility of your own content. Slide on fingernail filth of your own lobby of triteness. Become honorary shithead in your own mouthful of erected statues. Break away from your accumulated door slams. Bam, 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 bam. Last night, I dreamt that Buddy Bolden threw his horn into the Pontchartrain River, and I put my name into every eyelid, every anthill, every dried bird, every mask of reptilian skin in the sun. So say it, and forget it, and have a drop of grappa. The frog spits through the uterus in December. Don't ask me who I'm speaking for, who I'm talking to, why I'm doing what I do in the light of my existence. You get up, you spit, you pee, you brush, you drink, you shit, you wash, you walk, you run, you write, you eat, you belch, you sleep, you spit, you pee, you brush, you drink, you shit, you wash, you walk, you run, you write, you eat, you belch, you sleep. And that's the way it is. In the morning, the tap water tastes fishy. Coffee sits in its decaffeinated cup. Cockeye and incense have a floating romance. And a stale washcloth will make you smell doubly stale, so don't get kissed on the cheek. At 8 a.m., the subway trains are packed with folks farting their bread and butter farts. The gymnasium is dominated by the stench of hot tennis shoes. And in one locker room, a few silly-talking, intellectual-looking, coke-drinking, cloth-dropping, paper-littering, spinach-pooting, smug-ass, arrogant women wait to be waited on. And in the other locker room, there is the odor of crotch and jockey straps, tiger balm and burning balls, sweat socks and sweatsuits of bodybuilding, door-slamming, iron-pumping, phlegm-hawking men all sour and steamy and wrapped up together in a swamp of butt-popping towels. And outside, the ledges are loaded down with pigeons, and clouds are seated with homeless people. And the lyricism of the afternoon is a sub-proletariat madman squatting and vomiting from his bowels a brown liquid of death in front of your house. And it's not happening because of you. Those socks don't stink because of me. A bureaucrat is not an asshole because of us. I'm not this way because of them. You're not that way because of me. Don't ask me about influences. That's just the way it is. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. This is called So Many Feathers, and the Josephine in this is Josephine Baker, who I think was from St. Louis, right? And I wrote this because I really admired Josephine, and to me she was a really great entertainer, fantastic dancer. And I couldn't understand one thing, though. She decided, after being the kind of person she was, which was a freedom fighter, but not in the sense that Ronald Reagan talks about, but a person who was really for the liberation of people and the freedom of other people. And but at a time when people were struggling and are struggling for their liberation in South Africa, she decided to go and entertain in South Africa with the excuse that she wanted to have a dialogue, I guess, with the people who were paying her. Anyhow, this is called So Many Feathers, and I just wanted to explore that fact. You danced a magnetic dance in your rhinestones and satin banana G-strings. It was you who cut the river with your pink diamond tongue, did the limbo on your back straight from the history of southern flames onto the stage where your body covered in metallic flint under black and green feathers strutted with wings of a vulture paradise on your head. Strutted among the birds until you became Terra Woman of all feathers. Of such terrible beauty, of such fire, such flames, all feathers, Josephine. This Josephine exploding red marble eyes in New York. This Josephine breaking color bars in Miami. This Josephine, mother of orphans, Legion of Honor, Rosetta of Resistance. This Josephine before splitting the solidarity of her beautiful feathers. Feather woman of terror. Such feathers, so beautiful, Josephine, with your frosted mouth half open. Why split your flamingos with the death white boars in Durban, South Africa? Woman with magnificent face of Ife mask. Why all the teeth for the death white boars in Durban? Josephine, you had every eyelash in the forest, every feather flying. Why give your beaded snake hips to the death white boars in Durban? Josephine, didn't you know about the torture chambers made of black flesh and feathers, made by the death white boars in Durban? Josephine, terror woman of terrible beauty of such feathers, I want to understand why dance the dance of the honorary white for the death white boars in Durban? After all, Josephine, I saw you in your turquoise headdress with royal blue sequins pasted on your lips, your fantastic legs studded with emeralds as you kicked, as you bumped, as you leaped in the air, then froze, your body breaking lightning in fishnet. And Josephine, Josephine, what a night in Harlem. What electricity. Such trembling, such goose pimples, so many feathers, Josephine, dancer of the magnetic dancers, of the orange flint pelvis, of the ruby navel, of the purple throat, of the feet pointing both ways of feathers now gone. Josephine, Josephine, I remember you, Rosette of Resistance, Southern Flames, Josephine of the bird heads, ostrich plumes, bananas, and sparkling G-strings, Josephine of the double-jointed knees, double-jointed shoulders, double-jointed thighs, double-jointed breasts, double-jointed fingers, double-jointed toes, double-jointed eyeballs, double-jointed hips, doubling into a double squat like a double star into a giant double snake with the double heartbeats of a young girl doubling into womanhood and grinding into an emulsified double spirit. Josephine, terror woman of feathers, I remember. Josephine of such conflicts, I remember. Josephine of such floating, I remember. Josephine of such heights, I remember. Josephine of so many contradictions, I remember. Josephine of such beauty, I remember. Josephine of such fire. Josephine of such sheen. Josephine of such feathers, I remember. You, Josephine, Josephine. I'd like to dedicate this next piece to the memory of Samora Michelle, who was killed today, as you know, was the president of Mozambique, and was killed in a plane crash today. It's called Briefing. Many mysterious people hide out in the remote white areas of South Africa. Some speak the Afrikaans language of apartheid. Others speak the English language of capitalism. Most are very reactive, very repressive, very racist, and very, very violent. They whip out their tongues like prehistoric reptiles, slashing and thrashing black youths to pieces. They wade through funeral crowds, tearing off heads and chewing through armpits of black mourners. They load their victims up with tear gas and rubber bullets and sit on borders scooping out marrows and eating dead Namibian corpses. They are the biggest bone collectors in the world, and they spare no expense to keep their one-way flow of white propaganda flowing through mouths of international entertainers. And because they create fetishes out of gold mines, black gold miners, migrant mining compounds, and widow reserves, they have been most successful at avoiding European condemnation and in widening their trail of corruption through resolutions and calls for economic sanctions and in keeping their brains stuck in the inaccessible swamps of white Africana nationalism and in making the perpetuation of supremacy a way of life and in convincing the Western bloc to support them for their strategic location. And no, it's not unusual for them to display photographs of Africans killing Africans, of black soldiers stealing from refugee camps, of black armies keeping the military institution of colonialism alive, because their rumps are filled with negatives of fake black liberation groups. They are the producers of war zones and squatter camps. They arm and pay Jonas Savimbi to disrupt Angola. They organize and pay Portuguese-speaking black and white mercenaries to destabilize southern Africa. They use people like Gacha Buthelezi and the Ngatha Zulu delegation to provoke riots and de-radicalize black townships. They design and sell new and old forms of tribalism. Their mixture of European tribal lifestyles rely on a policy of black tribal separation. And because they are cold-blooded killers with notorious reputations for breaking up families and for murdering men like Steve Biko and jailing leaders like Nelson Mandela and hanging poets like Benjamin Moloisi and banishing and brutalizing women who reject their ideology of apartheid and calling it their holy duty. They think they can preserve their wild, brutal Bantustan butts and bulldozer lips forever. They think they can be the great civilizing messiahs of genocide, quoting scriptures and praying in the ashes of black African children, praying for a baptismal feast of more special privileges, praying that countries such as Mozambique won't be able to sever the labor links of dependency, praying that wars, bacterial contamination, drought, and nuclear threats will keep all of Africa fragmented, praying that they can go on praying and refining their techniques of lying and praying and capitalizing on whatever they can capitalize and prey upon in hopes of retaining power, in hopes of securing their survival, in hopes that all their hopes won't fall under blue funk of smoking stones in a hopeless state of terror, in hopes that a holding reform pattern of hope will hold them together in a republic of hope. But only we know what's happening on the hopeful side. And since they are not progressively hip enough to understand revolutionary expectations and are not religiously righteous enough to read hieroglyphic graffiti, and since they would rather steal land, suck on precious metals, and live off the high wages of cheap labor instead of accepting one person, one vote, then let's hope they'll be technologically sophisticated enough to sail through the air on corrugated rooftops. Let's hope they'll be intellectually educated enough to flee on the Bantu Express. Let's hope they'll be economically solvent enough to shimmer in the dust storm of their plunging defense budget. Let's hope they'll be independently boorish enough to confront the extinction of their savagery and physically fit enough to swallow the bloody stools of their beloved system of apartheid. Let's hope for that dark, dark day of liberation, for that gloomy day of unification, for that black day of transformation, for that drunk day of modernization, for that bleak day of peace and happiness and all the beautifulness in the universe. This is a poem about human rights, equality, and justice. It's a dialogue between the drum and his woman. No, anyhow, this is called If the Drum is a Woman. If the drum is a woman, why are you pounding your drum into an insane babble? Why are you pistol whipping your drum at dawn? Why are you shooting through the head of your drum and making a drum tragedy of drums? If the drum is a woman, don't abuse your drum, don't abuse your drum, don't abuse your drum. All right. All right. Now, I know the night is full of displaced persons. I see skin striped with flames. I know the ugly disposition of underpaid clerks. They constantly menstruate through the eyes. I know bitterness embedded in flesh. The itching alone can drive you crazy. I know that this is the United States of America and chickens are coming home to roost on the MX missile. But if the drum is a woman, why are you choking your drum? Why are you raping your drum? Why are you saying disrespectful things to your mother drum, your sister drum, your wife drum, and your infant daughter drum? If the drum is a woman, then understand your drum. Your drum is not docile. Your drum is not invisible. Your drum is not inferior to you. Your drum is a woman, so don't reject your drum. Don't try to dominate your drum. Don't become weak and cold and desert your drum. Don't be forced into the position as an oppressor of drums and make a drum tragedy of drums. If the drum is a woman, don't abuse your drum. Don't abuse your drum. Don't abuse your drum. This next piece is about parasitical relationships. And it goes inside and outside of the Florida landscape. And it's called Bloodsuckers. In Miami, the bloodsuckers came sucking in full speed, twisting and sucking into a urethra of decapitated shrimp heads, tongue slashing and sucking into a matrix of turtle shells, rising up and sucking through a perforated sack of Southern crosses, drawing blood and resucking the dried, mutilated scalps of a Seminole nation, moaning and groaning and sucking on mucus from nipples of tropical stormtroopers, grunting and chewing and pissing on the artificial hides of stuffed alligators, corrupted suckers dropping down and sucking all the way through Brownsville to Coconut Grove, blood suckers sucking on the joints of steel horses and trembling, sucking gopher meat from the plastic womb of St. Mary on the Dixie Highway and hallucinating, sucking on the moon over Miami, muck fire in the Everglades sucked, Florida folks sunbathing on the Suwannee River sucked, telephoto lens sucked, deposits of uranium sucked, veins of manganese sucked, dry lizard's jelly sucked, chrome nickel mercury sucked, taxpayers' money sucked, a sucking extravaganza in the brown coral coop of Peruvian breast, in the Spanish moss wings of Moorish armpits, tobacco ensemble fantasia, blood suckers, sucking slow motion sucks on the ends of throbbing hoodoo spikes, sucking on the cracked heels of ancient bolito winners, sucking through the rotten banana farts of a Jesuit priest, sucking through the contracting pupils of vicious watchdogs, then fabricating sucks with the DuPont suckers at the test site. Blood suckers, sucking on high-powered rifle butts and splattered glass, sucking on a column of smoking Mickey Mouse dolls, sucking on a seasick refugee in the Gulf Stream, sucking on the Panama Canal Treaty, sucking on 60 bars of gold, sucking on 1,000 tons of rubble and disfigurations, sucking at the Mr. Universe pageant, sucking with the Firestone Tire Company executive suckers, sucking with a security force of force suckers, sucking with a conglomerate of born-again Christian suckers, sucking with the General Dynamics suckers of blood suckers. Blood suckers, sucking and sweating and hooting and balling themselves into knots on the red tide slime of Miami Beach. A casino full of suckers, turning tricks of justice and vomiting into a palmetto of fluoridated snake ash. Addicted suckers, sucking and pecking and choking themselves to death in the weasel stink of Little Pretoria. Blood suckers, sucking with an asshole full of radioactive rust and exploding way down in the dumps of Love Canal, expanding themselves and vigorously sucking on a medley of birth defects, stealing land and sucking into a grand jewelry of broken cow teeth, yelping and belching and collapsing in the dark blue quicksand of Liberty City, screaming and squabbling and wallowing and suck, 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 sucking all the way down in buzzard shit. Suck, 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 suck. Well, I'm glad you're having as much fun as I'm having reading tonight. And this is called Rape, and it was written in support of Inez Garcia and Joanne Little, two rape cases in the 1970s, and well, it's very strong. It's a strong subject with strong language. What was Inez supposed to do for the man who declared war on her body? The man who carved a combat zone between her breasts? Was she supposed to lick crabs from his hairy ass? Kiss every pimple on his butt? Blow hot breath on his big toe? Draw back the corners of her vagina and hee-haw like a California burro? This being wartime for Inez, she stood facing the knife, the insults, and her own smell drying on the penis of the man who raped her. She stood with a rifle in her hand, doing what a Defense Department will do in times of war. And when the man started grunting and panting and wobbling forward like a giant hog, she pumped lead into his 300 pounds of shaking flesh, sent it flying to the Virgin of Guadalupe, then celebrated Day of the Dead Rapist Pump. And just what the fuck else was she supposed to do? And what was Joanne supposed to do for the man who declared war on her life? Was she supposed to tongue his encrusted toilet stool lips, suck the numbers off of his tin badge, choke on his claptrap balls, squeeze on his nub of rotten maggots and sing God Bless America, Thank You for Fucking My Life Away? This being wartime for Joanne, she did what a Defense Department will do in times of war. And when the piss-drinking, shit-sniffing guard said, I'm gonna make you wish you were dead, black bitch, come here, Joanne came down with an ice pick in the SWAT freak motherfucker's chest. Yes, in the fat neck of that racist policeman, Joanne did the dance of the ice picks. And once again, from coast to coast, house to house, we celebrated Day of the Dead Rapist Punk. And just what the fuck else were we supposed to do? I just wanted to write that in support of those women. It's very important. This is called I See Chano Pozo. Chano Pozo was a great drummer from Havana, Cuba. He came to the United States to play with the Dizzy Gillespie big band in the late 40s. And this is a piece about the significance of the drums. So there may be some words in there that you don't know, but you will know them tonight. A very fine kunga of sweat, a very fine stomp of the right foot, a very fine platform of sticks, a very fine tube of frictional groans, a very fine can of belligerent growls, a very fine hoop of Cubano yells, very fine, very fine, very fine. Is there anyone finer today? Ole, okay, oh yeah, I say, I see, Chano Pozo. Chano Pozo from Havana, Cuba. You're the one? You're the one who made a tamo into a tattooed motivator of revolutionary spirits? You're the one who made Mbebe into an activated slasher of lies? You're the one who made Dono into an armpit of inflammable explosives? You're the one who made a Bonu into a circle of signifying snakes? You're the one. You're the one who made a tampon's head strike against the head of a bird every night, every day in your crisscrossing chant in your cross river mouth. You're the one. Oye, I say, Chano, what made you roar like a big Brazos flood? What made you yodel like a migrating frog? What made you shake like atomic heat? What made you gel into a ritual pose, Chano, 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 Chano? What made your technology of thump so new, so mean? I say, is there anyone meaner than Chano Pozo from Havana, Cuba? Oye, I say, I'm in the presence of ancestor Chano Pozo. Chano, connector of two worlds, you go and celebrate again with the compañeros in Santiago and tell us about it. You go to the spirit house of Antonio Maceo and tell us about it. You go to Angola and tell us about it. You go to Calabar and tell us about it. You go see the slave castles. You go see the massacres. You go see the afflictions. You go see the battlefields. You go see the warriors. You go as a healer. You go conjurate. You go mediate. You go to the cemetery of drums. Return and tell us about it. Ole, okay, is there anyone finer today? Oye, I say, did you hear in Petawa smoking in the palm of his hands? Did you hear Iya Ilu booming through the cup of his clap? Did you hear Ntenga sanding on the rim of his rasp? Did you hear Sikia Kua stuttering like a goat-sucking hawk? Did you hear Bata crying in a Nago tongue? Did you hear Fontan from speaking through the skull of a dog? Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Did you hear it? A very fine tree stump of drones, a very fine shuffle of shrines, a very fine turn of the head, a very fine tissue of skin, a very fine smack of the lips, a very fine pulse, a very fine encuentro, very fine, very fine, very fine. Is there anyone finer than Chano Pozo from Havana, Cuba? Okay, ole, oh yeah, I say, I see Chano Pozo. Military spending, huge profits, and death. Military spending huge profits and destruction. Military spending huge profits and death. Military spending huge profits and destruction. Military spending huge profits and death. Military spending huge profits and death. Military spending huge profits and death. Tell me that the plutonium sludge in your corroded torso is all a dream. Tell me that your penis bone is not erupting with the stench of dead ants, that your navel is not the dump site of contaminated pus, that the spillage from your hard ass is not a fallout of radioactive waste. Tell me it's a lie. Tell me it's a joke. Tell me that you don't have to fuck yourself on the reactor core of an intense meltdown to show your importance. Tell me that you have no desire to be the first one to fuck into the fission of a fusion of a fucking Holocaust. Tell me I'm hallucinating. Tell me I'm fantasizing. Tell me I'm delirious. Tell me you know peace is better than war, that total decolonization is better than war, that the elimination of hunger is better than war, that the moon merging into the shadow of the earth is better than war, that night moving into day and day moving back into night is better than war, that the sound of the human voice in its calmness, in its shrillness, in its monumental invention of pitches is better than war, that the arrival of rain, the smell of something familiar, the blood circulating in your legs, the visitation of the sun, the conjunction of rivers, the vexation of your special nerve and hope rising from the sole of your nose is better than war. Tell me that the tonnage of nuclear sweat in your prostate gland is all a mistake. Tell me that your vagina will not be a bursting silo of blue flames. That your chest will not be an infested swamp of vomiting mosquitoes. Tell me it's a mirage. Tell me it's absurd. Tell me you really have no intention of being a homeless, nameless, sexless piece of shit somewhere over the rainbow. Tell me that you have no need to get high off the fumes of a neutron bomb. Tell me that you're not going to peel off your skin and be a psychedelic corpse in the holy water of patriotic slobber. Tell me it's ridiculous. Tell me it's ludicrous. But don't tell me that you think you're immune, because there is no immunity. No immunity to the hydrogen dust moving like a cloud of 100 trillion infuriated rhinos. No immunity to the fireball smoker of abdominal organs. No immunity to the fetishes wrapped in uranium crates. No immunity to the downwind flames of invisible radiation. No immunity, and you know it, I know it, the computer knows it, everybody knows it. So tell me that you're going to pull away from the corrupt, gluttonous controllers of profit. Tear open the condescending attitudes full of green ashes. Separate yourself from the solitude of stagnation. Don't tell me that you want to sink into the stink of exotic weapons. Don't tell me that you want to quiver into the heat of missile repulsion. Don't tell me that you want to disappear into pessimistic past of your own self-interest. Tell me I'm dreaming. Tell me I'm hallucinating. Tell me I'm fantasizing. Tell me it's unthinkable. Tell me it's unrealistic. Tell me it's all in my imagination. Tell me you never heard of such a thing. Tell me it's a misunderstanding. Tell me it's not a human need. Tell me it's a crock of shit. Tell me it's propaganda. Tell me you really intend to go forward. Tell me. Tell me. Tell me. Clarification. No denture cleanser can remove the stubborn stains of greed from plaque-filled plates of a self-appointed god. And no bulletproof vest can hide the repulsive flab of a violent fascist heart. And no presidential cooking recipe can eliminate the problems of starvation and poverty. And no missile-making program can kill unemployment. And no first lady kissing the shaven head of a black Santa Claus can erase the memories of slavery and lynchings. And no propaganda machine of lies can bring back the 40,000 people murdered in El Salvador. And no school of prayer can pray away the lead-embedded bones of families buried in the ditches of Guatemala. and no extra thick disposable diaper can absorb the stench of dead students and bloody Krugerrands in pants of the corporate bankers of war. And no bathroom tissue with lotion can sweeten the smell of the oppressive class of mercenaries economically in control of Capitol Hill. And no supercomputer is super enough to hold all the distortions coming from mouth of the great communicator of disinformation, destabilization, and deficits. And no invasionary unit of body snatchers secretly moving from the shores of Grenada to the shores of Tripoli to the shores of Southern Africa and back to tamper in the shores of our private thoughts can take away the human impulse to resist against exploitation and extermination, and in the double-digit inflation of your constipation, you know it. Now, oh, the last piece I want to read for you this evening is called You Know, and it's dedicated to all the people out there that speak the You Know language, like me. You know? Yeah, you know, I sure would like to write a blues, you know? You know, a nice long blues, you know? You know, a good feeling piece to my writing hand, you know? You know, my hand that can bring two pieces of life together in your ear, you know? You know, one drop of blues turning a paper clip into three wings and a bone into a revolt, you know? You know, a blues passing up the stereotype symbols. You know, go into the dark meat of a crocodile and pinpoint the process, you know, into a solo 100 times like the first line of Aretha Franklin. You know, like Big Mama Thornton. You know, I sure would like to write a blues. You know, if I could write me a blues, you know, a blues that you all could feel at the same time on the same level like a Joe Louis punch, you know? You know, a punch that could break a computer into an event like Guinea-Bissau, like Zimbabwe, you know? You know, if I could write me a blues, you know, a nice long blues, you know, an up-to-the-minute blues, you know, a smack dab in the middle of depression blues, you know, a blues without incidental music, you know, without spending time being incidental. You know, if I could write a blues, you know, a blues without the popular use of the word love, you know, without running love, 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 love in the ground, you know? A serious blues. You know, a significant blues. You know, an unsubmissive blues. You know, a just because we exist blues, you know? You know, a blues. You know, a terrible blues about the terrible, terrible need I have to write the blues, you know? You know, if I could write a nice long blues, you know, a nice long blues, you know, it sure would feel good to my writing hand, you know? You know? Thank you.